wonderful. So it's like I said, we've got the amazing Sasha Japet James is our guest today on She Speaks, and boy, this is going to be an awesome conversation because this young lady, she's also an author of an amazing book, and we're going to be delving in all of that and more this morning. But of course, this program is not complete without recognizing that we've got a very strategic and amazing partner who has seen the vision of this initiative and has decided to lend their support full 100 from basically inception, really. So we would like to take a moment right now to observe and recognize our partner in this program, which is, of course, the Bank of St. Lucia. So let's take a word from them, and then we'll come right back and start the conversation.
We are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every solution, building our future today. We are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every solution, with you every step of the way. Serving you and me, the St. Lucian way. We like family, always there for you, helping you and me. BOS and Luce for me. We are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every St. Lucian.
Bank of St. Lucia, all the bank you need.
Okay, so here we are. This is where I say welcome. Good morning to every single one of you. Good morning to Valencia Charles. Good morning to Arabella Fede. Good morning to Mr. Gilmore. Is it Loz Alcindor Gilmore? Good morning. Good morning also to Damien James and everybody else that's trending, tuned in, whether you tuned in via our app, whether you're on our website, whether you're on the frequency, whether you choose to log on to us via our Facebook feed. Good morning and welcome to She Speaks, brought to you by the Bank of St. Lucia. Sasha Japet James is our guest today, and she's already on the phone line. Let's start the conversation. You guys know how half hour does go around here, right? So definitely, let's say good morning to our guest, a very special guest. Sasha, good morning.
Good morning, good morning. Thank you for having me, Maureen.
Well, it's a pleasure. I remember the first encounter I had with you. I remember saying it to you at the time, and little did I know, this is how it wrote back in on me, and I didn't even realize that this is the actual person. You know, so I am very happy because from that first encounter, I know that was one of the persons that we needed to have because of the mandate of the show. I know we needed you to be part of that as well. So I am very honored to have you this morning. Well, let me tell you, the thing normally starts off like this. We want to know about you. We want to know where you're born. We want to know how much children you have. Hold on, I ain't done yet. We want to know what you used to eat when you was growing up. We want to know how much time you grease yourself on a little big stone in the back of wherever you grew up. You know, so we just want a little background, a little insight about, you know, where exactly in St. Lucia were you born, and what was growing up like for you? What kind of household? What were some of the things that were instilled in you as a child? So let's take it from there.
Okay, awesome. So I am proudly from the People's Republic of Liberia.
Yeah, no.
And I'm going to repeat that. I am from the People's Republic of Liberia.
That's right.
And I was raised in a single parent family for most of my life. Well, I grew up in Liberia, and I spent some time overseas, of course, with studying, and I worked overseas for a few years as well, but we'll get into that a little later.
Yes, we will.
Growing up was, looking back at it, I think as much as there were challenges, I would not change anything. Mm-hmm. I would not change anything because I look now on my life and I am satisfied and grateful for what God has done with and through me. I was never this vocal, Maureen. I was...
Yeah. You said that, you know, you said that at the time. And when I watch you speak, I say, no, she lied.
Oh, yes, because, I get that sometimes.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Just delve into it.
I was this, you know, timid little girl growing up. I always used to bury myself in books.
Ah.
And I did a lot of reading. That was my refuge. And, But despite the fact that I was this timid, I always knew what I wanted. That was an amazing thing. And not just me. I don't take credit for all of this because God also had his hand on my life.
Right.
And anybody who hears me speak, I have to bring in the God factor.
I know. I was just about to say that you're a very, very spiritually grounded woman. You're very, very grounded in that light.
Yes, and this has guided my entire life. Knowing that God has a purpose for my life. This little girl who grew up in a single-parent household with, of course, challenges, I would have experienced. There were days, of course, my mom would have struggled to make ends meet. Mm-hmm. But even as I mentioned my mom, I am so thankful for her because she sacrificed so much, Maureen,
right.
So much to ensure that I became who I am today. And every opportunity that I get, I have to give the props to her.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the other things I always like to mention is that, you know, as much as I have been able to attain a certain measure of success, mm-hmm. I do not like to focus on that too much. My thing is about empowering people. And sometimes a person may see you, you look a particular way, you carry yourself a particular way, and they might think to believe that, oh, this person just got to be that way. But
right.
No, there were challenges. And despite that, you need to understand that no matter what your circumstances are, they should not determine who you become.
Right.
And this pretty much sums up who I am. My circumstances, despite whatever it was as a young person growing up in a single parent household,
right.
But I was determined
right.
to be successful, to go out and break the glass ceiling. I'm still in the process of doing that.
I know. Now, there's a lot of things. Like you said, yes. And this morning, I am happy that you are here. We're heading into also our independence celebration. So many things are happening around us right now. Women are more and more women are making strides in terms of owning our place and our rightful place at that. And also, you know, there's so many narratives flying around right now in terms of some of the moral values that we were grounded with. And I happen to have known from the first encounter, there's some place I want to go today because you also was very strategic in you know, the moral that says, I am not giving it up until I get a husband and a proper one and that. So we have to go into those because people tend to think that these sort of values are no longer existing and they no longer work and they're outdated and stuff like that. But you have been a woman that has stayed true to all of that as well. So you want to talk about all of that and more. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'll take a word from our partners. We already 20 minutes left. And when we come back, we'll talk about your field of training, right? And why you chose to get into that field. We're going to talk about some of that. But I really and truly this morning, like you said, you don't like to go into in depth on that. You were more about empowering. And we will come back to a little bit more about those sort of values and how you have kept true to them and how they have worked for you. But it doesn't mean that you're, you know, a little nerd still because you have shared some stuff that, you know, listen, yeah, I chose that, but it does not mean that right now my husband is getting any boring person.
Let me tell you,
you hot me up so much and I think we need to get that side of you this morning. So give me a moment. Let me just take a word from the Bank of St. Lucia and we coming right back.
We are the Bank of St. Lucia for every solution, building our future today. For every solution, with you every step of the way. Always there for you, serving you and me. The solution way, we like family. Always there for you, helping you and me. B-O-S-L, no se for me. We are the Bank of St. Lucia. For every solution,
Bank of St. Lucia. All the bank you need. Thank you.
19 minutes moving on up before the top 11 o'clock here on Radio Caribbean International. If you're just joining us on our Facebook feed or any other means, this is She Speaks on Radio Caribbean International. I am the host, Maureen. The guest today is Mrs. Sasha Japaire James, and the Bank of St. Lucia is our partner. Sasha, we get into that. Let's talk about psychology. You clinical psychology, that's the field that you're in, really?
Actually, it's counseling psychology.
Right. So talk to us. What's the difference? You had
I've been in this field of counseling for about 11 years now. I started off as a school guidance counselor in Montserrat. I spent 3 years there, mm-hmm. and then I returned to St. Lucia and I became employed as an addictions counselor. Mm-hmm. And right now I am a licensed counseling psychologist. I am also the CEO and founder of my own private practice, Making It Work Consultancy. Wow. And as you would have already mentioned, I am an author of 2 books now, Maureen.
Oh, you've gone on and done the last one since last we spoke?
Oh, yes, I did.
Beautiful.
And the second one is going to be of... Definitely. And the second one will be of interest to you since you mentioned... keeping myself until I found who God had in store for me.
Right.
On Valentine's Day, although I don't subscribe to Valentine's, I believe every day is a day of love. Mm-hmm. However, I would have released Love Happened, mm-hmm. and Love Happened speaks about my own love journey until I met my Mr. Right.
Oh, gosh. Absolutely. Well, what a journey it is. So now you are full-time into your practice or you're still employed?
I am still employed.
Okay. So talk to us about how it is that you decided you wanted to make that transition. Because we've got a lot of people who over time too, you know, you get them and then you start saying, okay, I know I've made my contribution in terms of giving back to the country, being employed in certain strategic places, but I've got to start doing this thing now for myself. At what point in time did you decide that this is where you're heading and then you decided to get into your own practice?
Yeah, for me, as long as I could have remembered, I've always had this desire to help people. Mm-hmm. And though I would have mentioned before that I was a very quiet person, but that did not hinder me from encouraging persons and speaking to them and helping to empower them, because I would have seen the impact that this have had on my life. And in 2017, this is when I decided to begin my own practice, mm-hmm. and making it work consultancy. I would have worked with, well, presently I'm employed with the government of St. Lucia at the rehab center.
Okay.
I am also one of the EAP counselors, EAP employee assistance program. And so my entire life is immersed in the field of counseling and assisting persons. And even outside of work, I still find myself doing this, and for me, it does not become tedious because I thoroughly enjoy it.
Right? Did you choose to go into the field? Because you could have done service in many different areas, but did you was it a choice to go into that particular field of service?
Yes, it was a choice.
Why you decide? Why was it a choice? What was going through your mind at the time?
For me, psychology. I saw it as. I knew what my career aspirations were. I wanted to become a licensed psychologist. So in order to do that, I had to go into the helping profession.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, now, interestingly, when I started my undergraduate degree, I started off with social work, but I decided to switch during my second year. I still have a minor in social policy. However, I've always been fascinated with the field of psychology.
Okay.
And being able to study human behavior and how, you know, being able to influence a person's behavior, this is one of the most satisfying things.
And I mean, not to cut through to you, but I believe that, okay, in order for you to truly be able to meaningfully effect change with somebody, you must be able to have an understanding of behavior and of what it is you're working with. I think, yeah, so that's that, yeah. It makes sense.
Yes. And not just other people's behavior, but you need to be able to understand your own self, have this level of self-awareness. And even in my book, Paul, an empowering journey to self-esteem mastery, I devoted some time in explaining the importance of self-awareness, understanding who you are as a person, what influences your thoughts, your behaviors, and the correlation as it relates to self-esteem, developing that healthy self-esteem. Because, Maureen, listen, it doesn't matter where it is. I always tell people, when you believe in yourself, you feel so invincible.
Yes, yes, that's true.
You are so
I can attest to that. Absolutely, yes.
Oh, yes, it's and a power. I see that in you as well.
It's a power, it's a power. And, you know, some people who don't understand it might interpret it as arrogance. But you know what? It is so much. These are some of the most humbling people, or humbled people for that matter, because you are no longer in a position where you feel you have to prove a point. You know,
definitely.
So it's very easy for you to just be very quiet and be very humbled and let people decide or think whatever, because you already so you know what you're working with.
That's right.
It's an empowered position. So there you are. And do you think that you gravitated towards that sort of thing because of the sort of introvert that you were? You needed to make that was personal, maybe even subconsciously?
I don't believe so, because first, let me go back a bit, because when I was in primary school, say secondary school, I always had a love for English and English literature. Mm-hmm. So much so that some of my lecturers believed that I would have gone into that field. However, I chose the helping profession. But I don't believe my personality would have influenced this profession, because in this field, you are expected to be out there, to interact with people, to be quite vocal. So if I had to go based on that, I would not have chosen it.
You probably would not have chosen it.
Yes.
All right. Well, that is good stuff. So you went along and then you now have your own practice, and then you started. Let's go. Because listen, we already like almost 12 minutes left, you know, like,
oh my God.
Yeah, I know, you know, we probably take a little time over, but, you know, in the essence of time, you know, here you are today, 2 books down, because I want to go into the other side of you. I want to go into that side of, you know, like the first book was about, self-empowerment, right?
Yeah.
Right. So tell us about the journey into going into that, writing that book again. Why did you figure that there was a need to put out a publication on that subject?
Yes. So for me, the whole concept of TOR was birthed from this desire to help, to empower people. Mm-hmm. And
did you recognize a lack in that area, though?
Oh, definitely. Right. Definitely. And most importantly, Maureen, I saw the benefits of believing in myself, having a healthy self-esteem. So this is something that I wanted to give to people. So when I interact with people, both on a professional and a casual basis, I noticed that people struggle with low self-esteem, poor self-worth, the struggle with knowing who they are as persons. So I wanted to empower, to motivate, to guide people to, you know what, despite whatever it is, you can believe in you and you can accomplish any single thing that you put your mind to.
Right. And that would have been coming from a personal place, because when you would have made the decision back then, I mean, come on, you have friends, everybody around you is living life, they're getting involved, they're doing things. But you, as a big person, teenager, nice, lovely young lady, you know, in the same group of people, you held true to a certain value, and I'm sure that your friends probably from time to time would have tried to convince you, listen, girl, this thing not raining anymore. But you had to stay focused, and you had to, you know, keep your feet grounded and decided, no, this is what I've made up my mind to do, and it is what it is, despite what is happening around me now in the world.
Yes, definitely. And for me, it goes back to core values.
Right.
And I grew up in a single-parent family. However, we never lacked love. The attention, my mom, I believe, compensated for what was lacking when my dad was not present. Mm-hmm. So the core values of believing in yourself, working hard for what you want, and not being envious of what other persons have, these are some of the values. Resilience, and assertiveness. Oh my gosh, Maureen, assertiveness. My
yes,
mom
yes.
Oh. Has to be assertive. It doesn't matter who, but you speak your mind politely, respectfully.
Yes.
And these are some of the things that helped to mold me into the person that I am today. And I would have mentioned, of course, my faith in God. That guided my decision to keep my cookies to myself. And
yes. I want to delve right into the next book as well, because I have not had my copy as yet. I didn't even realize it was out. But let's go into to that journey. There you are, beautiful young woman, career-driven. You're out there. You're doing your thing. And let's go there. Take us there. I want you to go there with my listeners this morning. Give them that journey as to, you know, you deciding to hold on to your cookies. How long you hold on to the cookies again?
Oh, my God. Now, I'm not going to give up my age on radio, but
okay.
I held on to my cookies for a while. Well, I'm still in my 30s, but up until my 30s, it stayed there. For my husband, and listen, it was absolutely worth the wait, because I thank God for this man, this husband that he has blessed me with, Maureen. And every day I look back and I say, you know what? It was absolutely worth the wait. So even when I was not looking, love happened. And this is where the name of the book, Love Happened, came from.
So what was the journey like? Okay, so you were there. You didn't date anybody or anything of that sort? You weren't dating? You were just buried in your work and in service? Or were you, did you explore certain times? You never used to feel like okay, maybe... No?
Well, of course. I mean, I'm human. The desires would have been there. There are times you feel, you know, boy, you know, I can't wait for this time. But of course, your thought patterns, for me, redirecting my thought patterns assisted me. Mm-hmm. So as much as, yes, I would have wanted this to happen, but I knew that I was waiting for something, and most importantly, I did not want to defile my body. Mm-hmm. And that again comes from my spiritual values. I decided that I was not going to defile myself. I was going to wait until I got married to give it up.
Right.
And that I did, and I'm so very proud of it.
Right. And, well, talk to us now about the husband. He must be in his glory, of course. But did you meet him on the same level as well? Or was that an issue for you? I mean, mentally, were you thinking that you wanted to meet somebody? In your mindset, okay, I'm saving this, so I'm saving it, and I would like to meet somebody who would save this as well. Or what was some of the things you were thinking?
That was my thing whilst growing up. I always wanted somebody who was like-minded in terms of a virgin like myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have delved into that in the book, Love Happens. However, you know, sometimes we have our preferences. I had my list. Oh, my goodness. One of the first one was the person had to be God-fearing. I had it down to complexion, Maureen. I had it down to height. But through this, God had to work on me in adjusting some of my preferences, because as you grow, as you mature, you realize that some of those preferences are just superficial.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I had to adjust to that. I can say that out of all of my,
the list of expectations,
I did not get just one. I did not get, and now it's fine. But what I wanted, I wanted a brown-skinned person like myself, but I got a chocolate, dark, handsome man.
Oh, you got a chocolate packet. The Valentine's came early.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that is good stuff. And so how is that working out for you now? I mean, in terms of person might say, well, but she had no experience. This and that. These kind of things after a time gonna, you know. So how is that working through? What is some of the things and the highs of, because you said it was worth it. So what are some of the highs that you can now share with us that probably will, if there's another young woman out there or another young person out there who is thinking along that line, who's deciding, okay, I would like to preserve myself until marriage. I would like to do it the traditional way. But, you know, so many things is happening around us right now. It might be difficult for them to stick true to that. What were some of the things that you now are experiencing within your marriage and your life, which you can attribute as highs as a result of you making that decision?
Okay, so one, I would say that we are quite compatible. You know, a lot of times persons use that word very loosely,
yeah.
But compatible in that he compliments me. Before
right.
I was married, I believed that I was already 100% complete
mm-hmm.
because I don't need a man to complete me. However,
right.
he compliments me. Even in terms of my business, my books, you would have seen Tall and you would see the cover of Love Happened. My husband is the brain behind the design of the books.
Wow.
And in every single area of our lives, our goals, our dreams, he compliments me as it relates to that. And I would say that definitely this is one of the perks of waiting for who God has for you, not just waiting to say, okay, I want to meet somebody who's also a Christian. Because
mm-hmm.
I believe even if another person is a believer,
mm-hmm.
it does not mean that you're meant to get married to that person.
Right, right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. When we look at communication, trust, not having to deal with so much baggage. Of course, every relationship has its challenges. However, when you allow that sort of flow, you tend to contribute to alleviating some of the baggage from, okay, I had this man over there and this and that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is not present, and I give God thanks for that.
Wow, wow. Does he get a little, I mean, in terms of... Does he? Because sometimes some people, because so many different narratives have been thrown out at us. So people saying,
mm-hmm.
okay, but boy, the experience, but because, okay, so she's never had an experience outside of me. So what if one day something was to happen and the experience was different and, you know, she got to see this or experience something, you know, like that kind of, because this we are big people, we're talking,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
like, do you think that sometimes those little things cross his mind? Because remember, he was not you. He was exposed already before.
Yes.
Right. So do you think that sometimes and if something like that was to raise its head, how do you think you would deal with it? Put spiritually, you'll take a spiritual standpoint?
Definitely, because again, my faith guides everything.
Mm-hmm.
Up to this day, we're married for 2 years. This year, September, will be 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to go based on how the relationship has been going thus far, the marriage rather,
mm-hmm.
I would not say that this might happen. However, of course, you know, people say never, because it's fun. I, as much as I was a novice,
mm-hmm.
I was not naive. Come
yeah.
on now. As much as I did not have
and I'm thinking there could be some levels of excitement in exploring, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The exploration now is a lot more exciting, I would think. Because you are now learning a lot of things and partner get to feel important because he's teaching, you know. So that could come with his own element of excitement and you know, vibe as well. That
and
is good stuff.
Yes, and
tell
the importance
me.
Of communication in a marriage, too. And in Love Happen, I speak about that. Communicating your likes, your dislikes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, even in my profession as a counseling psychologist,
mm-hmm.
I would, when I'm doing couples counseling, sometimes a person may indicate that they don't communicate these types of things to their spouses. I mean,
mm-hmm.
if the person is not hitting the spot, you tell them, because this is your spouse. You communicate.
Right,
and
right.
It helps to build trust.
Mm-hmm.
I think in our society, we've been socialized to think that, you know, speaking about sex is so taboo. And
yes, yes.
This should be hidden. No.
Mm-mm, mm-mm.
Of course, you do it within a context that does not seem disrespectful, because
right,
trust
right.
me, I'm not going to be speaking about my sex life to anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Generally,
yes.
right now,
right.
You know, so because I'm a very private person,
right? Which is acceptable and it's all right as well. But it
yes.
doesn't mean that within the setting of a big woman who is married legally, you and your husband can have the conversation as to what it is that you like or you don't like, what excites, what and you're experimenting and you're going along and you're having the conversation. It's important.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. Listen, we're already a minute after the hour of 11 o'clock. So right now, what's next? You have two books out there. Where can we find them? Are they on Amazon? Can we get hard copies? I don't know, something about me and hard copies. I like hard copies.
Same here. I actually prefer hard copies.
I prefer the hard copies.
Both of my books are available on Amazon. Mm-hmm. But tall copies can be purchased from me as well as... there's a particular bookstore that I'm still working towards that. So persons can check out my page on both IG and Facebook, Making It Work Consultancy or Sasha Japier James. Mm-hmm. And we can arrange for that copy to be dropped off to the person. And in terms of goals, I will definitely continue to write. Right now, I am working on two other books concurrently.
Mm-hmm.
And
one of them... It doesn't seem like you're heading into full-time publication very soon.
Oh,
you know?
My goodness.
Definitely, definitely. But in terms of the practice, what are some of the services that you offer at your very own practice? And how can persons, may need, or who should consider... checking you at your practice, because we're in a charge environment right now. I mean, you're into psychology. You see the kind of environment that we are surrounded with right now, and you're definitely gonna have to throw something there for general public to probably chew on or run through the mind or a little bit, because the environment out there is charging. I mean, COVID, a lot of people are out of jobs, and so many things are going on that could affect people's mental state of mind right now. So who should? When is it okay, or when should we decide we need to speak to somebody, or we need to talk to me about it?
If a person believes that they need just a listening ear, mm-hmm. or they need to speak about a challenge that they're faced with, that is enough to seek psychological services. One of the things that I've realized is that a lot of persons believe that they need to have this big problem to seek psychological help. But it does not matter. A simple decision, you may need help to, mm-hmm. to you know, scratch it out. You can seek psychological services for that.
Right.
And even right now, Maureen, a lot of persons are encountering a lot of emotional distress.
Yes, yes, a lot.
Persons have lost their jobs, and it is having a toll on people. And
yes.
I encourage... everybody who's listening and persons who will listen, you know, even after this is done,
mm-hmm.
seek the help. If you are not able to pay, there are lots of organizations that offer free psychological services.
Mm-hmm.
For my own practice, I provide individual group and family therapy, parenting education, substance abuse counseling, anxiety, depression, stress management, among others. Now, as much as Making It Work Consultancy is not a non-profit organization, mm-hmm. I do a lot of free work for people because for me, it's more about helping.
The health,
I don't see myself turning somebody away because they're not able to pay.
And you can see that this person needed, and you know you can do something to be able to help them.
Yeah.
You never know after you've helped them and they've grown, you never know what happens afterwards. You know, they could go on to be so successful and come back and make a donation to the fund, you know.
Yes.
Of course. But it's how the thing works, and I'm grateful that you are holding such position, and you're thinking along that line, and you're thinking that mindset as well. That is amazing stuff, and I want us to start normalizing this thing. Because normally when people, you know, it's a taboo thing for people to say, well, I went to see a psychologist. So I just, you know, people get so up in arms and people start to look at one another like mad people and start, you know, this kind of way. And I think people, it's because of a lack of information. And you know, people are now not understanding how simple it is and how much not in control you are of these things. And how the types of things that could trigger any of this sort of the mental you know, things to you. And I think people and that's one of the things I think that a lot of people are not paying attention to, because we think it's taboo, or you know, I don't want to say it. I don't want people to know that. And I went into a depression, and it's you know, you don't want to let people know that. And you know, we make this thing such like if it's such a hideous thing. And what we fail to realize is more and more persons, younger persons, persons from all walks of life are genuinely affected by this thing. So we need to normalize it, I think.
Yes, and I hope to see, even with Making It Work Consultancy and with all of the other organizations that I'm a part of, I hope to see a noticeable reduction in the stigmatization of mental health, you know, raising awareness. And just last year, I became part of a group, the St. Lucia Endometriosis, PCOS, and Adenomyosis Support Group. And this group is... one of the mandates is to raise awareness on all the menstrual and reproductive health disorders. And people out there are suffering, and they need these types of safe places to speak, to feel like they have a community, because that can save a life.
Right. And the more we educate the entire population, is the more of a community they will feel, because it will feel like, okay, you don't feel any way to say I have a cold.
Exactly.
Or the flu. You get me? So we need to really and truly keep the drives on. And I commend you. I commend you as well for lending your services in so many different areas, because there you are, psychology, but now you've lent your support and your services to the new one you just mentioned, the Endro, whatever it is. And that's good stuff. And this is where we get to see more of these things happening. Sasha, it was an honor talking to you this morning, and I'm sure the viewers who had a ball of a time this morning. I'm happy that we were able to shift the focus a little bit this morning and speak more in terms of some of the values that we are seeing. Persons are afraid or think they no longer exist. And I think persons should be encouraged to get that book, the last one, Love Happened, is it?
Love Happened.
Right. So that they can see that there's actual examples, beautiful, healthy, awesome people. So you could still, young women could still, a young man can still decide to take these sort of decisions and not feel ashamed of it.
That's right.
Wonderful. Anything you want to leave with our listeners before we wrap up this morning, Sasha?
For me, whatever it is that you're going through, you're listening right now, remember that, you know, the whole concept of vicarious efficacy, if others have done it before, so can you. And this is something Marina stayed with me. I saw other people doing it, so I knew that this little girl, this little timid girl, could have accomplished every single goal that she would
set
have.
Set out to, right.
Yes, definitely.
Wonderful. That's amazing stuff. Sasha, thank you so very much again.
Thank you, Maureen. Thank you for having me.
It was an honor, man. Thank you for uplifting us this morning on She Speaks.
Take care.
Wonderful. So there you have it, guys. Sasha Japir James, an awesome, awesome, wonderful St. Lucian woman. And I think you should get her books. Her books, Tall and Love Happened. So go check it out. Sasha Japir James on Amazon. And you can check her out again, like she said, on IG. Yes, I found her on IG yesterday as well. So she's there. She's on Facebook. So just make the link up and get her copy of her books, man, and have a good read. You're going to enjoy it. If you think that you didn't have enough and you don't want to delve in more into her journey and her love journey at that and all that, like the Zafir Moon. So, grab a copy of the book. Why not? Thank you again.